You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
Hour number two of The Rob Carson Show, following the holiday formerly known as Easter, which is now called the Transgender Day of Visibility by the White House, an ultimate slight to Christians, this on the heels of, supporting anti-Israel protests, supporting Iran and Hamas, trying to depose Benjamin Netanyahu. I can go on and on. It's like the Democrats have something in mind here, right? You know? Yeah. Because, you know, you can't have a Maoist revolution if you're going to allow religion to keep going. And they're looking for an excuse. Yesterday was about picking a fight. In case you didn't, yesterday was about picking a fight. They want to start something. You want to be starting something. Got to be starting something. That's what they're trying to do. They're poking the pit bull, seeing if you will respond. And we need to, with joy and patriotism. And we need to call them out for what they do when they do awful things like they did yesterday to Easter. Because this nonsense can't continue. Here is Joe Biden being spoken to by the diminutive and not terribly intelligent Al Roker about Easter and the Easter egg roll this morning, which you can't have any religious symbols on the Easter egg roll because, you know, that would be about God and stuff. But here is Joe Biden slurring his way through his description.
What is so special about this egg roll?
Well, what's so special is this this is the people's house. And for 40,000 people be here. It's the largest ever. And we just like to open it up to place and let people see this is their place.
Really? Yeah. You didn't say that after the election of 2020 when you brought in the National Guard for a year to make sure that everybody was quiet about that free and fair election. Mm-hmm. Not exactly the people's house there, yeah. Oh, here's Joe Biden. He's tired of all the negativity. He's talking to Al Roker again, who, honestly, he's not an intelligent man. He should stick to weather, I guess. Maybe not even that. Here he is. Joe Biden is tired of all the negativity.
What's your message to people about why they've got to engage and get out there to vote?
Well, I think people are going to surprise people again. They're going to engage. The overwhelming response will out in the road. Look,
the overwhelming response when they go out on the road and I get 8 people to show up for my appearances when 85,000 people show up to see Donald Trump.
We have tens of thousands of people contributing $5-$10 a pop.
And then, of course, none of those people gave you the $25 million at Radio City the other night when you completely ignored the wake and funeral of a police officer murdered because of your open border policies.
We've opened up 100 headquarters. We have people waiting to just get engaged. I mean, I just think people are so tired of the negativity that is propagated.
Yeah, you don't want that negativity. I mean, Joe Biden is a ray of sunshine and light, you know.
We must be stronger, more determined, and more committed to saving America than the MAGA Republicans are destroying America. The MAGA Republicans don't just threaten our personal rights.
That doesn't sound very positive.
Economic security. They're a threat to our very democracy. They refuse to accept the will of the people. You and 81 million Americans voted to save our democracy. Donald Trump isn't just a former president. He is a defeated former president.
Yeah, this is what statists do. This is what communists do, Maoists do. They lie to your face. They make messes and rub your face in them. That's what they do. Here's Joe Biden telling you that despite all the suffering you're going through, the economy is absolutely kicking butt.
When people are saying, you know, but Mr. President, I'm feeling, my buck isn't going as far. What do you say to those folks about the economy and what's going on?
Well, I say we have the best economy in the world. We've got to make it better. We really do have the best economy in the world. Jobs are up more than they've ever been. We're in a situation where the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years is maintained. We have people who just, but people.
Because nobody can afford to not work now, including retirees. Duh.
Look, I think we're going to find out that what happened is a consequence of the crisis we had in health.
Oh, yeah, it was a COVID crisis now nearly 4 years later that's still causing the sucky economy, even though Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump turned around the economy left by Democrats in a mere month.
It's going to have a lasting effect, and we just got to get people to move again. We're ready. I mean, I think the country's ready to come together in a way I mean that sincerely.
They're coming together against you because you're awful. You're doing a terrible job as president. Try to take that from me, by the way. I've already told you that the country is coming together against Joe Biden. That includes blacks and whites, Hebrews, homeboys, hillbillies. I told you this, and that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to act like the country's coming together to support the open border and the terrible economy of Joe Biden and anti-police and the sacking and burning of America's cities and the idiotic COVID nonsense that destroyed the lives of children and thousands of businesses. Yeah, America's coming together because they want more of that. You betcha. You keep telling yourself that. Even Bill Maher knows that's not true.
No, I know he's going to be, you know, it's sad. It's the whole thing is over now. There's not even a race to follow, but that was always fun. And Trump is beating Biden, you know, now in the national polls pretty strongly. And all my Democratic friends are saying, relax, it's a long time before the election. Because, yeah, that's what Biden's whole card is, time.
Yeah. That's because he's real old and he's probably not going to live through the next 4 years.
No, that's it. We got to get used to it. This is it. This is the race. Biden and Trump, the race is over. This is bad news for the country, I think. Very good news for people who build ramps on debate stages.
Well, it's because Joe Biden has to use the short stairs to go up the stairs. Donald Trump gets around quite well and can literally improvise a two-hour rally going from script to improvisation effortlessly because his brain is perfect. His brain is working actually probably better than ever. 38% of voters think Biden will be alive at the end of his second term. But, you know, there is a support for him that is just you just heard him. Joe Biden says people are coming together to vote for him. But they don't have a choice if you're a Democrat. 38% of voters think he'll be alive. More than a third believe Kamala Harris will be president by January 29 if Joe Biden is reelected. He won't be elected. He won't be elected. That election is already over. Joe Biden can't win the election because he's done a terrible job, and the Democrat Party is crumbling. Trust me, when you get to what the Democrats are doing with the vote this year, remember what Mark Zuckerberg did the last time? Joe Biden's doing it with federal money. I've got that coming up. Yeah. Yeah, that's why he's not doing so much campaigning. Anyway, 38% of voters believe Joe Biden will be alive at the end of the third, which means Vice President Kamala Harris. Some 36% of voters believe Harris will be the president at the end of his term if he gets elected. The results show how the 81-year-old president's age will be a major factor in November. Well, no kidding. I've said this, and they're going to, I guess, maybe wheel him across the finish line at this point. They've given him enough whatever he takes before the State of the Union to wheel him across the finish line. He's already said he's probably not going to do debates or anything because he's not going to do debates because his brain doesn't work. So there you go. The difficulty for Biden is that views of him have not been shaped through events such as the State of the Union address, which people who felt it was fiery, but through consumption of hundreds of viral social media clips of Biden stumbling and slurring, that proves otherwise. So, yeah, 38% of all of us believe Joe Biden won't live through his second term. But, you know, Joe Scarborough, he says that Joe Biden's brain is perfect because this is what state-run media operations do.
Sometimes he would say things he didn't want to say. This is, and I don't really, you know what, I don't really care. start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth.
What is it? What?
And F you if you can't handle the truth.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever.
Yeah, if he started at persistent vegetative state.
There's been a response from the opposition, but yes, I'm sorry, from Hamas.
Top of his game.
But it seems to be a little over the top.
Yeah. I sat down and I said, America's bad. And Nidaran from France looked at me and said,
38% of us don't believe he'll make it through the second term.
Said, now,
do you know why? Because they're not stupid.
Why? How long you back?
Let me tell you who else is noticing that. Donald Trump. Did you see what he recently said about he wants to see the economy crash? Sitting president.
Yeah, this is Democrat Jamie Harrison and talking about the Joe momentum going into 2024.
It is making sure that we are on the ground, making sure that we are in folks' living rooms, that we're meeting them at their churches, that we're meeting them where they are. And that's the important thing. And that's what these resources will give us the opportunity to. You know, since the State of the Union, the president's numbers have gone up, we've seen in polls, but he's also been going all around the country, going to all of these battleground states while Donald Trump's golfing. The president.
Yeah, Donald Trump is golfing, sure. No, he's actually having to go to idiotic political indictments that are happening right now that are falling apart. The federal government is using its vast resources and largest agencies to register new voters and expand mail-in balloting with the help of nonprofits. Did you know that? Kevin Stockland put together this this piece. Mississippi Secretary of State Michael Watson wrote to U.S. General Merrick Garland March 6, alleging that agencies under the Attorney General's charge are attempting to register people to vote, including potential ineligible felons, and to co-opt state and local officials into accomplishing this goal. The allegation relates to President Joe Biden's Executive Order 14019, which states the head of each agency shall evaluate ways in which the agency can, as appropriate and consistent with applicable law, promote voter registration and participation. This order has forced U.S. Marshals to modify more than 900 contracts with prisons and jails to provide voter registration documents and facilitate mail-in voting for inmates. This is what Merrick Garland said in that black church the other week. Yeah, Joe Biden is not only going after Donald Trump, commanding indictments from the White House, he's also paying off all of the agencies of government to get people to register and vote Democrat. There you go. Why do you think Kamala Harris said, oh yeah, we need to give kids Pell Grants so they can register people on campus? They're doing what Mark Zuckerberg couldn't do last election, although he did. Yeah. To have the Biden administration and DOJ purposely undermine these efforts and jeopardize the integrity of Mississippi's elections is unacceptable. The work by the DOJ to register voters in prisons, critics say, is just the tip of the iceberg. Other agencies, including the Department of Education, which is a leftist organization indoctrinating our children with CRT and transgender nonsense, the Department of Agriculture, the Health and Human Services, HHS, run by Rachel Levine, and the Department of Housing and Urban Development are also carrying out campaigns to set up new voters. There you go. Oh, the plan has been called Biden Bucks by some of its detractors, referencing the injection into state election programs of $400 million by Mark Zuckerberg's. This is Zuckerberg on steroids, because instead of $400 million, it's under unlimited funding and resources and the reach of the federal government and all its offices located in the country. This is the only way that Joe Biden can win. That's why I say, if it's a free and fair election, he can't win. Do you understand? Some people get all, upset if I say that. But really, If it weren't the case, then why this? If it weren't the case, then why the political indictments? If it weren't the case, then why the censorship on social media in 2020 and even into today? Duh. 38% of us believe that he won't even live through the second term. Democrats, you don't even have a choice. You never did. You never had a choice. You didn't have one in 2016 or 2020 or now 2024. Are you still going to vote for this? Now that they made yesterday into the Transgender Day of Remembrance. And by the way, 2009 was the original Transgender Day of Remembrance. But the fact that they literally leaped over Easter yesterday, that's what I'm angry about. In case you wanted to know. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show.
Here's to a record-setting president. Joe Biden setting record low approval ratings.
What the Democrats have put our nation through. It is a sad day.
It's the Rob Carson Show.
So Joe Biden's executive order about the election. Prominent among the many federal departments carrying out the executive order is the Department of HHS, the HHS. Federal health centers participate in activities, including voter registration, that are outside the scope and core of department activities. Such voter registration activities may include making available voter registration materials to patients, encouraging patients to register to vote, assisting patients with completing registration forms, sending completed forms to the election authorities, literally vote harvesting, vote registration harvesting by federal agencies, providing voter registration materials to waiting rooms, allowing private nonprofit organizations to conduct on-site voter registration. All leftists. DHS instructed more than 3,000 public housing authorities managing 1.2 million public housing units across the country to run voter registration drives in those units. There you go. The Department of Education has been particularly active in turning out likely Democrat voters. According to Scott Walter, president of the Capital Research Center, every college campus is massively dependent on Department of Education largesse. Oh, well, what happens to your money if you don't get Democrats to run? Oh, yeah. Oh, listen to this. The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Women's and infants and children's low-income food program instructs them to carry out voter registration activities with federal funds. That's one of the ways they're trying to steal the election. Yes. And right now, a federal lawsuit is challenging this. State Representative Dawn Kiefer, a Republican who chairs the conservative Pennsylvania Freedom Caucus, is leading the plaintiff lawsuit. We're going to get him on the show. They're going to try and turn this around, but that's what they're trying to do. They're making Zuckerbucks into Bidenbucks, using your money to register Democrats and felons in prison. You said it was going to happen. I said it was going to happen. It's happening. Jim in Pasadena. Hello there, Jim. Welcome to the show. What's going on?
My goodness, Rob. I've been on hold for 20 minutes, but I wasn't going to hang up, baby.
All right. What's up?
Right now. Our government has got us, and they know it. I went into the library. They moved the library in Pasadena to Mountain Road Library, and they put a big sign up about the gay the drag queen story hour, and I said something to the librarian about I didn't think it was proper, and she went off on me like I called her a bad name. And then today I go by there, they've moved the library, they put a brand new banner up there. The banner's about 2.5 to 3 feet by about 35 feet, and it says Mountain Road Library, and underneath the bottom of it, about 10 inch high by 2 inch long, is gay pride flag colors.
Really?
At the county library.
There you go. Well, there you go. You know what's going on. It's a Maoist Marxist takeover of the country. It's an attempt to do it. And I would suggest that maybe you should pick it outside that library. Maybe you people in Pasadena, Maryland, should say enough with the nonsense. Enough with the nonsense. You know, how about just check out some books? Or better yet, just go out of business. Because honestly, libraries. Really? We're really spending millions and billions of dollars on libraries. I've got literally, in Johnson County, they got so much money to burn. They open up these worthless $80 million libraries that nobody goes to. But you go into the gaming room. There's a gaming room. There's always people in there to play games. But literally, they've got thousands of volumes of books that nobody goes in to read. Because, I don't know, you got the Library of Alexandria in your pocket. It doesn't make any sense. Jim, thanks for the phone call. That's the way they're doing it, right? Is that another branch of the indoctrination schedule? Is your local library your local library? I mean, honestly, why should your library, a public institution, have to be exclusively trans and gay or even supporting that? And I'm not anti-trans and gay, but honestly, they're trying to pick a fight with us. They are trying to pick a fight with us. Coming up, I want to talk a little bit about the funeral of a police officer over the weekend and Nicole Wallace going bonkers on MSNBC. This is the Rob Carson Show. Coming up, special guest John Burnett, Newsmax host, business and political commentator, to talk about a number of things, including the holiday formerly known as Easter, the FDA and ivermectin delusion shattered. Yeah. Did you realize the FDA alerted millions of Americans via social media during COVID that ivermectin was a horse drug? Yeah, you shouldn't use it. It's a horse drug. Yeah, you shouldn't use hydroxychloroquine. Horse drug. Even though billions of doses had been given out over the years to fix a lot of things. The message traveled widely across social media. It even impacted doctors who wanted to use it to successfully shorten the severity of COVID and actually cause people to live longer. But you see, ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine were super cheap and didn't get Big Pharma billions and billions of dollars. One of the doctors who knew that it worked, ivermectin, actually created the wellness company. Did you know that? Dr. Peter McCullough, he was censored by the HHS and CDC. Turns out the HHS and CDC were wrong, and a lot of people died because of it. Yeah, it's real. You should look it up. That's why I have an emergency medical kit from the wellness company right here in my studio. I've got a travel one in my car, and you should have one as well. Not only can you get ivermectin, not only can you get a hydroxychloroquine, you could get Z-Pak, amoxicillin. If you're concerned about a supply chain breakdown, well, what just happened in Baltimore last week? Yeah, a supply chain breakdown. So what I suggest is if you want to save 10% and get your emergency medical kit, you go to twc.health/Carson. twc.health/Carson. Again, twc.health/Carson. Joining us on the Newsmax hotline, John Burnett, Newsmax host, business and political commentator, to talk about a variety of things, including yesterday, what used to be Easter. Hello, John, and welcome to the show, man. How you doing today?
Doing well, thanks. Good to be back on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you think of yesterday? And I've got a lot of people, you know, a lot of people are saying that, this is just misinformation. The transgender day of visibility has been around forever. And this was in no way, shape, and form any way to slight Christianity. What do you have to say about that, John?
Well, I saw this coming for a long time now. When you go back to COVID, what did they do during COVID? Yep. They said you couldn't even worship. You could not, even though we have a right to assembly, they said that you cannot assemble even in the church parking lot in many states. So we've been going through this for the last several years in terms of attack on faith. Now they just up the ante to try to replace faith-based, specifically Judeo-Christian values with their own secular ideology and other things that they worship. So this is no surprise. This is the reason why we have to be vigilant in our schools, in our communities, in our churches, and wherever we worship, making sure that we safeguard the principles and values that make for good individuals, good communities, and strong people.
One thing that the mainstream media missed this weekend was in Tennessee over the weekend. A trailer containing hundreds of holy Bibles was set fire and left outside an evangelical Tennessee church on Easter Sunday. Officers from the Mount Juliet Police and Fire Department responded to a suspicious fire at the intersection of Old Lebanon Dirt Road and Chandler Road outside of Global Vision Bible Church. It looks like they set fire. Somebody just pulled up there and literally burnt an entire a wagon full of Bibles right there. It was very meticulous, so he had to be very courageous to do what he did, according to one of the witnesses who saw the videotape. So what do you think about that? Does this sound kind of like anti-Christian, possibly some of the, I guess, maybe even reminiscent of some of the things that happened in the South that Democrats perpetrated on black Christians, do you suppose?
That's the first thing that came to my mind. Fierce intimidation. But you know what? I'm a preacher's son, and I grew up in the church. In fact, my mom used to teach Bible study on Sunday mornings. I'm like, Mom, I want to watch cartoons. I'm like, we'll go to church tomorrow. She's like, you need the word every day.
Yes,
so
yes.
So my mind went back to that, and I said, you know what? We have to act. That's why the scriptures say that we have to internalize the scriptures. Making sure that it's in our hearts and minds, not just on paper. See, they can burn paper, but when the word is inside of you, that's the connection that we have to God, not just the words on the physical paper. So that's just a fear tactic. Again, it's in their toolkit to try to discourage people from the faith, from practicing their faith, from assembly and so forth, but it's not. It's going to fall it's going to fall flat, and it will not actually deter people who truly honor their faith. It's not going to dissuade them from practicing at all.
Yeah, I do believe there was another political movement of the left that there was some book burning involved. I think it was like in 1939 in Germany or something. Maybe there's something like that going on there. You know, they always say that Republicans are the ones who want a book burn for keeping, I don't know, porn out of children's libraries. It's honestly, isn't it amazing how they project? Isn't that amazing? And then this morning you had some jackweed on MSNBC when Donald Trump said that it was sacrilege to make Easter in the trans day of visibility. He said Jesus would have embraced the trans community. And I'm like, well, yeah, Jesus was all inclusive, but how dare you? Honestly, how dare you twist the words of a man of faith by a network of no faith and an administration clearly without faith? I just think it's ridiculous, John.
Well, the thing is that what they're trying to do is replace Judeo-Christian values with their own ideology that includes LGBT, social justice, and all these other things that replace or in their attempts to try to replace faith-based initiatives. But it's all going to fall flat because we know what? We're not going to go for this anymore. They took prayer out of schools years ago. They're trying to burn books. They're trying to everything that they're accusing Republicans of, you best believe they are doing it. So we already see that playbook.
I'm sorry, this phone connection is really bad. I do want to wrap things up because you made some great comments here. You mentioned that you can't burn what's in your heart, and that's a brilliant observation. You can burn all the Bibles you want, but if you have it in your heart, then that will go nowhere. They've tried this. Fascist regimes have done this before, and then when that didn't work, they sent you to re-education camps. We've got that going on right now. You've got censorship declaring what the state says is true and what you believe is misinformation and disinformation. So you've got that. So they have had an attempt to rid you of the books, then rid you of the thoughts. And I think that Americans this weekend had enough of all of it, John.
Well, you know what the fact is that United States is probably the number one place in the world of re-education camps. We call them colleges and universities. And that's
exactly right.
What's going on right now.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Well, it's weird. Your phone just suddenly got better. That's just crazy. Maybe it was a healing. Do you suppose that your phone line was healed, John?
It's going on a lot. You know, I have AT&T that was down a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, yes.
It's spotty service ever since.
I did kind of find it funny this morning that there were thunderstorms and lightning at the very, very frightening, by the way, before the Easter egg roll. It had to be delayed this morning. So I thought that was kind of funny, John. All right, John, I appreciate you being on the show, man. Where can people find you on social media?
I am John Burnett. I am John Burnett on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Hey, I got a lot to say, so follow me.
Yeah, all right. All right, my friend. Have a good one. Thanks for being on the show today. All right, let's move on here real quick, and I apologize for the connection there. It was a little meh, but John had some great things to say. Think about it. The burn books, it's a way of erasing history. Tear down statues, erase history. You know? If it's in your heart, then you have to be re-educated. You have to be retrained. Hillary Clinton said that Trump supporters needed to be re-educated. Do you understand? This has all been done before. Disinformatia. Come on, people. Come on, people. Stay with me here. Smack. Oh, this is great. Oh, over the weekend, did you hear about this? Over the weekend in New York City where there was a funeral for a police officer. Jonathan Diller. His widow blasted the New York City. The Kathy Hochul showed up. They turned her away. Thank you. Letitia James had the audacity to request to speak at the funeral. They told her bleep off. They didn't put it that way because they're better people than the Democrats in charge of New York City. Diller's wife, Stephanie, said, "My husband died a hero, but he always lived as one. He was always putting people above himself, dropping everything to help someone in need and speaking up for what was right. How many more police officers and how many more families have to make the ultimate sacrifice before we start protecting them? This is all on Democrats." And their tone deafness to it all started with Radio City Music Hall the night of Jonathan Diller's wake and a $25 million fundraiser without even mentioning his name or even doing a moment of silence. And then authorities at the New York City Fire Department demanded a ladder company in the East Village remove a flag honoring six of the company's men who perished on 9/11 after a resident complained it was a fascist symbol. The order arrived March 22nd after a man who the New York Post reports claimed to be a staffer for Progressive Manhattan Councilwoman Carolina Rivera confronted firefighters at Ladder Company 11. The man pulled up to the firehouse on a bike, told firefighters he works for Rivera, that the politician's office had complained several days earlier about the flag. The thin blue line flag, which is designed similarly to the firefighters' version, serves a similar purpose among police officers, but has in recent years been used by the Blue Lives Matter movement and has therefore assumed a political meaning. Did you see the turnout for that funeral? Firefighters and police officers and Americans in general have had enough of this leftist nonsense. On March 19th, the FDNY received an email from Lizander Rosario, staffer for Rivera, saying a constituent had contacted the office twice to complain about the latter company's flag and asked if it violated any rules. The email said that political symbols aren't permitted to be displayed in public vehicles and asked if there was any such symbol on the company's truck. Several hours later, now Commissioner Laura Kavanaugh reversed the decision, allowed the flag back on the truck. Rivera, the aforementioned, a progressive New York City politician and former official member of the Democrat Socialist of America, voted with her colleagues in 2020 to strip the New York Police Department of $1 billion in funding. There you go. This is Rob Schmidt talking about the man who murdered Jonathan Diller.
The stain on society that shot Officer Diller is 34-year-old Guy Rivera, arrested 21 times, 9 felonies, including attempted murder. Allowed to just terrorize this city endlessly, it seems. Rivera was shot and wounded by Officer Diller's partner. Sadly, he survived. And to give you just an idea of the level of human that we're talking about here, NYPD says doctors found a small knife in his rectum when they took him to the hospital. This guy is arrested so often, he kept a shiv inside of his bum for the protection that he needed for the next time he's going to jail.
The funeral this weekend was the largest public show of support I've seen for fire department or police officers since 9/11. And it was a giant, defiant, I won't say middle finger because they have better, they're classier, but it was a defiant hell no to Letitia James, Fani Willis, Joe Biden's DOJ, Merrick Garland, Alvin Bragg. I can go on and on. It was. But here's Mark Preston on CNN saying that Joe Biden may not have gone to the funeral, but he goes to police officers' funeral. Remember, he went back in 2014, a decade ago.
He is right in the sense that it doesn't necessarily look good. But the reality is what they're not telling you is that Joe Biden has been to these funerals in the past. In fact, back in 2014...
He went to a funeral in 2014. What are you complaining about?
He had gone to an officer's sling who was gunned down.
He went to an officer's sling, okay.
I'm just sitting inside his patrol car. The fact of the matter is, this fundraiser was put on. Yes, people in middle America look at New York and they look at L.A. and they say, look at the glitz, look at these limousine liberals telling us what to do.
Yeah, we do, and we get it.
But that's the reality is, and at the same time that the Trump campaign comes out and says, look, he's going to raise $25 million.
Yeah, yeah. It was tone deaf. It was tone deaf. We get it. You're not on our side. We completely understand the reason why you did that fundraiser and did that. You don't care because what you do is already being, it doesn't matter what you do for America. You've already got the machine in motion to try to steal the election. Policy doesn't matter to you. You do your own thing. All you do is appeal to your donors. You don't care what affects the American people because what you do for them does not affect your fundraising or your way to steal an election. That's it. That's why they don't care about you. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show.
The criticism over the transgender day of visibility, the White House said that the president wouldn't abuse his faith for political purposes. Does the president think that's what Republicans are doing?
I mean, look, just a couple of things, and really...
Let me look through my three-ring binder of bullcrap.
So surprised by the misinformation that's been out there.
Oh, it's misinformation. Is that like disinformatia?
Around this, and I want to be very clear.
You're never clear.
Here for the past several years, on March 31st, Transgender Day of Visibility is marked. And as we know, for folks who understand the calendar and how it works, Easter falls on different Sundays, right?
Yeah, but the big holiday is on Easter. And that this fell on Easter, I'm sure if it actually fell on a Muslim holiday, they'd immediately say, okay, we've got to move this because it's a superfluous bullcrap holiday, this Transgender Day of Visibility.
A year. And this year it happened to coincide with Transgender Visibility Day. And so that is the simple fact. That is what has happened. That is where we are.
Yes, and if it were any other faith, only Islam, they would have actually changed it. But they didn't, did they? No, they didn't. This is new from Jim Gossett. The words of Burl Ives, by the way.
Have a transgender Easter with no religious edge. Say hello to girls you know with beards and hairy legs. Have a transgender Easter, like the White House says to do. Tradition trashing, Christian bashing, that's what they like to do. Joe, he has to know the message that this sends. Biden and religion, they are far from friends. Have a transgender Easter and pervert the holiday. Their intention is that you won't mention God on that day.
Yeah, generally the federal government in a country that's 80% Christian would not highlight the and celebrate the Transgender Day of Visibility over Easter. By the way, Sunday, March 10th through April the 9th, 2024, is when Ramadan is. I wonder if they would consider putting a Transgender Day of Visibility sometime between that month, that entire month. No, of course they wouldn't. No, of course they wouldn't, because behind the scenes they're rubbing their hands and cackling because they think it's really funny. The rest of us don't, and we get it. Let's take a break and come back. This, my friends, is the Rob Carson Show. Hey guys, it's Carson. Our money loses value every year due to inflation. In fact, the dollar has lost over 98% of its value relative to gold. What if you could earn income in gold, which can't get inflated away, instead of dollars? Monetary Metals does just that. They offer the ability to earn income in gold, growing your total ounces over time by leasing or loaning your gold to qualified gold-using businesses. Earn 2 to 5% annually on your gold while supporting qualified businesses in the gold industry. Or if you're an accredited investor, you could earn even higher yields, double digits, in their gold bond offerings. You can open an account directly on Monetary Metals website in less than 15 minutes. Fund your account by purchasing gold directly from Monetary Metals at less than 1% over spot, or you can use gold you already have. They provide free shipping and insurance and free storage and insurance for any metal in your account. Opt out of the dollar, central bankers, fiat currency, the corrupt financial system, and get your own personal gold standard with Monetary Metals. Visit monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information. Again, monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information, or to get started opening your account.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
This is the Rob Carson Show.
This, my friends, is hour number three of the Rob Carson Show. And we have much to get to. Corinne Jean-Pierre, apparently, I'm going to play this cold, attempted an April Fool's joke. Now, this is hard to do when everything you say is a lie. So when you actually, I don't even know how to say it. When you just lie about everything, like Joe Biden's economy is great, then eventually, when you create a lie, it's not funny because they just kind of expect it from you. But here is Corinne Jean-Pierre today.
So I have something at the top for all of you. I think you'll be really interested in this. So President Biden is scheduled to announce he is revoking the Hatch Act. So as a gift to all of you, so now I can actually take all your questions about 2024. No? I thought you would love that.
Yeah, that's really funny. Yeah, that's really funny. Joking about censoring stuff and not answering questions. It's real funny. Let me see here. I think Joe Biden had one this morning. Let me find it. Joe Biden had a really funny one earlier today. Let me see if I can find this. It's hilarious. Here it is. Here's Joe Biden's April Fool's joke.
When people are saying, but Mr. President, I'm feeling, my buck isn't going as far. What do you say to those folks about the economy and what's going on?
Well, I say we have the best economy in the world. We got to make it better.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic. Oh, Mike. That is spectacular. April Fool's, everybody. But he wasn't done there.
We really do have the best economy in the world. Jobs are up more than they've ever been.
Oh my God, you're killing. Stop it. Go back to your Transgender Day role.
We're in a situation where the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years.
That's hilarious. Oh my God, you think you got a good economy and people are working more jobs, and 400% more people are coming out of retirement this year than they were last year.
Maintained. Oh my God. We have people just, but people, look, I think we're.
Don't tell me. Hold on. You don't have dementia.
We find out that God. What happened is a consequence of the crisis we had in health. Have a lasting effect.
That is hilarious. You tricksters. You little tricksters you are. Just you little tricksters out there. Yeah. It's not funny when everything you say is a lie. You know, yeah, April Fool's joke is not very cool when you're a fool to begin with. You can quote me on that. April Fool's not funny when you're a fool to begin with. Nicole Wallace defiantly threw her script in reaction to Trump calling out a judge's daughter. You know about this, but this judge, Michael Luttig, who is in charge of this, it's not defamation, it's Stormy Daniels' confidential agreement. He paid her to shut her mouth because she was saying he was sleeping with her and all that, and he did a confidentiality agreement, which everybody does. I had a confidential, every radio station I've ever worked for had a confidentiality agreement, okay? But they're trying to make something out of nothing, and it turns out this judge's daughter is linked to Democrats raising $93 million. Amid the Trump trial. Didn't know if you knew this. Yeah. The daughter of the judge presiding over Donald Trump's New York hush money trial has two significant Democrat clients who've raised over $93 million bucks in donations. These clients include Adam Schiff, who's a slimy scumbag, and Senate Majority PAC are clients of Authentic Campaigns, a Chicago-based progressive political consult where Lauren Merchan, the daughter of Manhattan Supreme Court Justice Juan Merchan, is president. He needs to recuse himself. If he has any conversations with his daughter, he needs to recuse himself from anything associated with a political person. That's it. Authentic Campaigns, and thus the judge's daughter, actively making money from this sham attack against President Biden, rendering Judge Merchan's conflict out. That according to spokesman Stephen Chung, the New York Post. Adam Schiff's Senate campaign garnered $20 million in donations since it started seeking contributions based on Trump's 34-count indictment. So she's raising money on the indictment of Donald Trump, and her dad is presiding over a trial. But Nicole Wallace is really mad. You know why? Because all of these political indictments are doing a faceplant, and she just can't handle it anymore.
So, you know... It's time to do something different. Like, we're not going to have this conversation again. I have come on the air with breaking news about requests for gag orders because of threats for judges and their kids more times than I could count today before I got ready. And Judge Luttig, I think it's time. I don't know who has to write the banners at the bottom of my show. I'm sorry in advance. But Donald Trump broke the...
I got a banner for your show. How about the words, I'm with stupid, and then fingers pointing up?
Rule of law. We should cover a broken judiciary in this country.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And it's very clear it's broken because it's going after conservatives.
Donald Trump managed to delay every federal criminal trial based on facts that he barely denies. Donald Trump.
They are political indictments. You idiot. Yeah, and this is one of the judges. Check this out. So there was this judge named Reggie Walton, and he went on TV this weekend, and now he said that Trump supporters are threatening him, and January the 6th, since he started, the January the 6th persecutions of people, everything's worse. Senior U.S. District Judge Reggie Walton went on CNN, argued that President Trump incites violence when he raises serious ethical concerns about Democrat judges, their staff members, their adult family members, prosecutors, and their staff witnesses. Okay, and here's what this judge said about Donald Trump. And by the way, he made all this up.
Have you been on the receiving end of more threats since you've had the January 6th defendants in your court?
Yes, I've had more threats than what used to be the case.
Really? Okay. Can we see those, please? And also the corresponding correspondence with law enforcement following those threats from peaceful Trump supporters.
Yes, I have received a greater number of threats as a result of that incident. And the fact
it's really weird because the left is the one that caused all the damage of 2020 and continues to cause damage around the country, tearing down statues, burning stuff and everything. Trump supporters are always nonviolent. Kind of interesting that way.
That cases arising out of that incident have appeared before me. I mean, it was rare. I've been a judge for over 40 years, and this is a new phenomenon.
Well, let's see the threats, please, and who they come from. Won the FBI on this.
I'm saying that it didn't happen before, but it was very rare that I would ever receive any type of a threat.
Yeah, he's a political hack. Here is Mike Davis of the Article 3 Project. He's filed a complaint against this judge.
So D.C., U.S., District Judge Reggie Walton went on CNN last night and did an unprecedented, highly inappropriate unethical interview where he essentially argued that Trump is inciting violence when Trump raises serious ethical concerns about these Democrat judges.
Remember the thing they say on campus when they say that words are violent, and when you express your opinion as conservative, that's violence. See, that's what they do. That's what they've been doing, and they've been trying to make conservative speech equate it with violence so they can silence you.
Their staffs, their adult family members, prosecutors, their staff witnesses, it is not illegal. It should not be illegal in this country for a criminal defendant to speak out against a judge, a prosecutor, the staff, witnesses, the process. That is protected by the first.
Yeah, like remember the January the 6th kangaroo court? Donald Trump spoke out against that, and it turns out Liz Cheney and others hid exculpatory evidence showing that Donald Trump had asked for the National Guard and was turned down. See how that happens?
Amendment, and these Democrat judges in running their lawfare are putting illegal, unconstitutional gag orders on President Trump. And this judge, Reggie Walton, went on CNN last night and said that Trump's essentially a danger to these judges because he's calling out their bias. And so the Article 3 Project is going to file a judicial misconduct complaint against this D.C. District Court judge, Reggie Walton, because he's violated Canon 3AC of the Code of Conduct for United States judges, states very clearly, quote, a judge should not make public comment on the merits of a matter pending or impending in any court. And that's exactly what Judge Reggie Walton did in his pre-planned interview on CNN last night. And that is highly inappropriate. It's highly prejudicial to any criminal defendant to have a federal judge go on TV and taint the jury pool by making comments.
Yeah, there you go. And so they couldn't call disinformation and misinformation. They're now saying that criticism is violence. That's what the left does. Ta-da! Here's Zeb Gorka talking about the federal coordination of these indictments of Donald Trump with the White House. And by the way, it's true.
This isn't just Engoron and Shudkan and all the rest of these lunatics. This is an assault, not just against the justice system, but the balance of power and checks and balances. We have it documented. Nathan Wade having an affair with Fannie Willis.
Yes.
Multiple visits to the Biden White House.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Letitia James, multiple visits to the Biden White House.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a former Speaker of the House, the incredibly well-respected Newt Gingrich, whose sources tell him the Biden DOJ ordered Fannie Willis to hold that very weird 11 p.m. at night press conference.
That's where she cobbled together all of the indictments and all of the people being indicted, all 19 of them, including Donald Trump.
Conference when she actually dropped those charges in the face of President Trump. What is a county prosecutor doing coordinating with the federal government?
Well, here's the deal. They needed somebody who was corrupt enough to approach. And unfortunately, with corruption comes incredible stupidity. Yeah. And they kind of go back and forth. You've got to be stupid to be that corrupt, or you've got to be that corrupt to be, and just stupid happens. I don't even know how to say it, but that's what it is. This is Mike Davis. This is one of the things that has the left in a panic, because Mike Davis, I guess, has been floated about possibly being an acting AG during the transition period. And this is what Mike said he'd like to do.
Even Trump deranged parts of the Republican Party around Trump, it's going to make him stronger. He's going to be unstoppable. He will be the next president of the United States after this indictment. And Steve, when I'm the acting attorney general for about 3 weeks before I get chased out of town, I am going to rain hell on D.C. I will clean out the FBI in 3 weeks.
Ooh.
I will bring indictments against Soros and Hillary and Obama and Biden's. It's going to be a good 3 weeks.
Oh, I hope so. That would be really cool. I mean, I would really like to see a little sweet retribution, to be quite honest, because, you know, it's deserved. Randall in Pacific Grove, California. Hello, Randall. What's going on?
Yeah. When you were talking earlier about the church and There's a myth about self-loathing Jews that I don't believe in. There's a myth about self-hating Catholics. I don't believe in that either. The reason being,
I disagree because there are facts. But go ahead.
Well, the reason I don't believe that because the synagogues and the churches have keeled over to the left. Because number one, after Nuremberg, which was very, very light on the Nazis, only a handful got executed. Very few got punished. The Jews at the time were not going to have a reverse Holocaust against the Germans. They did not want to do the same thing out of revenge. It's kind of like an extension of the Torah. Catholics, they keel over to the left because of the fact that they have this thing where they have to continue to atone. And it's like a religion to give in to the left now because they're not going to stand up for our country as a nation. The biggest mistake anybody can make is to let the church remedy this. This is an autonomous country. It's a republic. Let the church be the church. Let our country be autonomous and have the government be governed by us, whether we're Jewish or whatever. The church cannot save this country. That's what I'm telling you.
All right, thanks for the call. Here's the problem. They are still self-loathing Catholics, and they are still self-loathing Jews. They haven't disproven anything. Because if there are Jews and Catholics who vote Democrat, particularly this iteration of the Democrat Party, that is profoundly pro-Hamas, anti-Israel, that has allowed the rise of anti-Semitism on America's campi, has not sent Israel the military, the aid that it needs, although some is trickling in from a previous agreement, by the way. For Catholics who would stand by and watch this transgender day of whatever, and also be completely cool with abortion killing 60 million babies since Roe v. Wade. That's where you can still be self-loathing when you vote Democrat. So, you know, I get your point, but, you know, not the case. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. So earlier we were talking about the White House literally celebrating Transgender Day of Visibility before Easter, then having to come back and say, oh, yeah, it's Easter, too, by the way. I don't know all that. And then Rachel Levine and Gretchen Hitmer Whitler, anyway, of Michigan, you know, Transgender Day, kind of Easter just being, well, when they designed the holiday, they knew it would fall on Easter. Any idiot knows that. Duh. Ancient civilizations were able to figure out what day the solstice is going to happen and all that, so... Duh. This is Deplorabella. It's a caller from Delaware. We just call her Deplorabella. I'm trying to get her to write a Substack called Dear Deplorabella. Here's what she said earlier. I want you to listen to this because it's quite profound.
I thank my lucky stars that as a Jew, I was born in a Christian country that not only celebrates Jesus, who was a Jew, not only endorses the Old Testament, which is my book, but which gives me total freedom to operate as an individual human being, enjoying every liberty made available to every Christian who fought and died for it. I feel extremely lucky not to live in one of those secular communist countries that persecutes and prosecutes Jews, or one of those Islamist countries that subjugates or murders Jews. So I am extremely grateful to Christians, and I feel very strongly, Rob, that the Judeo-Christian ethic, which undergirds our Constitution and our way of life, is under assault. They are trying to destroy, this communist Islamist group is trying to destroy Christianity. They don't want the golden rule any more than they want a work ethic or the exercise of liberties in our Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights and the Ten Commandments are anathema to these pagan, secularist, totalitarian monsters. I feel extreme anger at what they have done. You cannot give dignity to the Palestinian people who voted for and supported Hamas. You cannot give dignity to people who have a mental illness, who insist on becoming another protected minority, moving to the head of the line. We cannot have freedom if we do not have freedom of worship and the primacy of the individual conscience that can gravitate to the Judeo-Christian ethic. We are under assault, and I wish to help my fellow Christians and Jews and atheists and agnostics and everyone else in this country would wake up and understand that what they are doing, the Jews are the canaries in the mine of history. The Christians are being thrown to the lions once again. Unless we surround these people and safeguard them and insist that there is no dignity in communists and Islamists who persecute us, who hunt down the heretics, who do everything possible to defame and silence, and soon it will be to intern and murder us.
Wow. I'm like, what the what? I mean, there's a reason why you're hearing her words. She's just, I mean, kaboom. Wow. Unbelievable. That'll be in the podcast today. Yeah, go to your favorite podcast platform, Rob Carson Show. Ask Alexa. Defense Minister Yoav Gallant said Sunday senior Hamas operatives captured by troops in the Gaza Strip have told interrogators the group is collapsing within. There you go. Yay, Israel. In the last week or two, hundreds of terrorists have been captured. And what they say about what happened to them tells the whole story. They say that Hamas is collapsing within. The price they are paying is very heavy. We're going to eliminate everyone who was involved in the events of October the 7th. The junior officials, the senior ones, the very senior ones, those who were inside Israel or who gave instructions. Again, kaboom. You know why? Because Hamas is on the side of evil, and Hamas is going to be ground into powder, and that's the way it should be. Despite Joe Biden, despite the left in this country that have done everything they can to create some sort of ceasefire so Hamas can regroup and continue their terror, it's failing. Yay! Good wins. I love it. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. So the positive is Israel's stomping the crap out of Hamas, despite the federal government, despite the left and their AstroTurf movement, which is pro-Hamas. It's all AstroTurf. They made it up. Remember, October the 7th took place. It was the second Holocaust for Israel. And literally it took decades for the left to try to erase the first Holocaust. They tried it literally within days of this one. And the left, honestly, they don't even mention October the 7th and the horror that happened. Andrea Mitchell, this is Andrea Mitchell. She, there was a hospital bombing supposedly happened, right? Not soon after October the 7th. And that's what ignited all this bullcrap, AstroTurf, pro-Hamas nonsense. It's bought and paid for. Don't believe it. It's just like Black Lives Matter. It's the same crap. Except for they used George Floyd's murder. Not murder. He died of fentanyl. And a heart condition, by the way. But they did. They used that event to ignite Black Lives Matter, Antifa, burn the cities. They tried to do the same damn thing this summer with anti-Israel stuff. That's why they interrupted the mass yesterday in St. Patrick's in New York. That's what they're trying to do. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Here's Andrea Mitchell, literally, just weeks after October the 7th, saying that there's no weapons caches, nothing in hospitals. The hospital that they were blown up, a lot of people died. Listen.
This year. It is, and I think dramatically the problem for Israel right now is that they are going after hospitals, and targeting hospitals is a violation of international law.
Andrea Mitchell should never work again in journalism. Listen to this. This is pretty interesting. Defense Minister Yoav Gallant says in the last few days we've seen great progress both in reaching the terrorists in the field and more senior commanders, even very senior ones, referring to the IDF's operations at Shifa Hospital, where more than 500 members of terrorist groups have been captured and 200 have been killed. Andrea Mitchell, who should never work in journalism again because she's a status leftist. The IDF said Sunday that troops had seized a cache of weapons concealed in the maternity ward of Shifa Hospital. I don't even want to know where those guns were. Where a raid on the facility to rout out Hamas terrorists at the week was entering its third week. Yeah, they were headquartered in Shifa Hospital. You bet. Listen to this. The Nahal Brigade's reconnaissance unit found weapons including mortars, explosive devices, sniper rifles, assault rifles, handguns, and other military equipment hidden inside of patient pillows and beds and in the drop ceilings and walls in the building. Yeah, you understand why maybe they're going after hospitals there, Andrea. Some 350 patients and medical staff at Shiva Hospital were evacuated by the IDF to designated compound in another complex where the military had provided them with humanitarian aid and supplies. They could have just bombed the staff out of the hospital, but they evacuated the innocents and then, you know, are doing what I say they should do to Gaza, which is reduce it to powder. Also Sunday, the IDF said it struck a Palestinian Islamic Jihad command center located in the courtyard of the, are you ready, Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital. I know, it's just so stupid. Yeah, I'll just bomb the snot out of them. I love it. Just bomb the snot out of them. I love it. This is kind of interesting what happened yesterday. El Paso judge dismisses over 100 additional cases, including all of those illegals who overran the National Guard in Texas. Did you hear about that? Yeah. In a dismissal hearing held at the El Paso County Courthouse Tuesday, a total of 123 cases were dismissed by Judge Humberto Acosta. As we've reported, the chief public defender, Kelly Childress, filed motions to dismiss criminal cases since August under Texas law, blah, 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 blah. During court, it was revealed at least 53 of the original 400 cases already had final dispositions, according to in addition, at least 83 cases were dismissed by the district attorney's office under Texas law, blah, blah, blah. Released the people who would attack our military members right there on the border. Generally, when you attack military members, you get shot. I guess not so much here. Jim Gossett.
Out in the West Texas town of El Paso, some stupid judge let illegals go free.
Yeah, we're gonna have to clean house at the DOJ.
These criminals stormed the National Guard. They were real threats to El Paso's safety.
Got a lot of enemies in our state.
Humberto Acosta, he is the judge. He freed lawbreakers who fled Mexico.
Because he's on their side.
They caused a riot and posed a real threat. But Judge Acosta, he let them all go.
Doesn't accost mean to attack?
The border's exploding cause Biden's done nothing. Kamala is AWOL, Mayorkas a ghost.
Well, we can be hopeful.
Hope they will pay for their crimes come November. Can't wait till the day when Joe will be toast.
Wouldn't it be nice? Yeah. You know, I'm very optimistic, and I tell you every day that we're going to win because we have to. And even Joe Biden this morning, talking to Al Roker, he's like, oh, yeah, people are they're uniting behind me. Burpy derpy derpy. Yeah, no, they're not. They're uniting against you. Hebrews, homeboys, hillbillies, Jews, Gentiles, even atheists and agnostics, Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives. The only ones that aren't uniting is because they're the left. They're united against us. We are united against them. We are. Here's Steve Bannon with some words of wisdom about us not failing.
The core to your being is in this fight. And that's the point I hammer over and over again. We're not going to lose. We're not going to lose. We've come so far and had so many incredible victories against all odds. Why is that? Because this movement channels that spirituality, channels that belief, and empowers people. Most empowered people I've met, the people with the most agency, are people that have the least amount of money in this movement. Yes. They are totally and completely dedicated. They've dedicated not just their lives, they've dedicated their beings to this. With that, we can't be beaten. If you can take that and spread that out to more and more people, if you can use that to be a force multiplier, it's incredible.
Yesterday, at every Easter, we unite in the suffering and death of Jesus Christ and in his resurrection. We do. That's why this transgender day of visibility taking over by Joe Biden and other members of our government is so incredibly offensive. And I've said that suffering is uniting us again, all of us who are suffering. The people who aren't suffering are Washington, D.C. The people who are affiliated with Washington, D.C., the big pharma and big defense and foreign entities that get our money, they're not suffering. Many of us are. I know it. I've gone through it. I had to wait for light to come to me, and it did, and I was saved. But suffering is uniting us right now, and we're going to bring our country back. I'm not deliberately trying to make that connection, but it is about suffering, right? It is. I want to mention something because I saw this today. A disturbing data shows a 237% increase in alcohol-related deaths for over 55s in the last 25 years. With COVID stress and higher amounts of disposable income, blame for the problem. Oh, yeah, higher amounts of disposable income. No, it's poverty. It's lack of hope. It's not having too much money. If you want a drink, you'll find the money. If you want a drink, you will find the money. Whatever it takes, you will find enough to drink. I speak from experience. 237% increase in alcohol-related deaths. The crisis is no respecter of social status, with the wealthy at least as vulnerable. Analysts have shown that the country faces a public health crisis as the boomers fled emergency rooms. I'd also mention Gen Xers as well. Now, I'm bringing this up because you know my story. I had a miracle happen. It wasn't without thought. It wasn't without effort on my part, but something miraculous happened that I can't explain to you. I can't explain how I had been taken to the hospital 3 times with DTs, delirium tremens, which are rapid heart rate, gigantically high blood pressure that ultimately can end up in stroking out and dying. And that's what a lot of people are dying of, and cirrhosis and whatnot. The other day I had someone who I know is a friend say something to me in social media and referred to booze, whatever. And I said, oh, I haven't drank in a few years, you know. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were in your recovery. And that's what he said. I said, dude, I'm recovered. I've left it behind. I don't wear it like a badge. I don't, because it's gone. It's gone. I killed the beast. I killed it. It's gone. I killed it. How do I know this? Let me tell you what I did. Are you ready for this? And you're going to think I'm crazy. When I was in Mexico with my wife, we were hanging out. I wanted to tempt the beast. So I literally, as I'm standing by the bar, I took a shot of tequila. And it did nothing. And it was awful. And I didn't want it. I wanted to prove the beast was dead. The beast is dead. Alcohol is not, does have no control over you. If somebody says that you are powerless against alcohol, bullcrap. Bullcrap. Alcohol is caused by the fermentation of sugar. All right? Throughout the history of the world, there are animals who literally get drunk on fermented fruit. Elephants who get drunk on fermented fruit. Bears get drunk on fermented fruit. It's not because the devil has taken over them and all of that. It's a chemical reaction that also works on your brain. Okay, we like to have that sense of departure from reality. You know, we suddenly think that we're, you know, superhuman and bulletproof and can dance. I'm talking to the white guys here. Of course you have power over alcohol. My God in heaven, if you don't, then anything can have power over you. Anything can. I, for years, begged God to end my suffering by maybe letting me pass away in my sleep, because I didn't think I was worth more than my life insurance policy. I had a miracle happen, but it didn't happen until I'd given up. It didn't happen until I knew that if I had one more drink, I was going to die. And it wasn't until then, when I had given up, that I was saved. Now, what I can't explain, how is it that I woke up 3 years ago on January the 11th and didn't remember the taste of alcohol, couldn't even conjure it in my mind? Couldn't remember what a glass of wine tasted like. Couldn't tell in my mind what whiskey tasted like, even though weeks before, if I would have thought of whiskey, my mouth would have watered. The morning of January the 11th, I had no withdrawal. It was like I'd never had a drink in my life. It was like I had forgotten it. It was gone. It was gone. It was exercised from my life. Can it happen to you? Yes. There may be some of you right now who coyly think you're getting away with something. You may have already started the day off with a drink. You may go to work and drink. If you're going down this road, you're going to die. You are committing suicide. It might take 20 years, but you're committing suicide. It happened to Matthew Perry. It took 30 years, but he committed suicide. You have all the power in the world. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Did it take effort on my part? Of course it did. But when it happened, it happened. And it happened so big. And you're going to realize some things maybe you haven't realized in 25 years. Alcohol is not what makes life fun. Alcohol doesn't need to be the reward at the end of the day. You know why? Because the end of the day is the reward, and that's all you need. That's all you need. This weekend, I hung out with my kids. My son taught me how to play Texas Hold'em, and we played cards. I didn't need any alcohol. One of the things that I got a second chance was rebuilding the relationship with my son. He was done with me. He was in college, and he had already written me off, and he had really planned probably a visit or two every year to kind of visit our house, but really, he was done. And this weekend, he taught me how to play Texas Hold'em, and we hung out, and Saturday night, he complained because I went to bed too early because he wanted to stay up and watch a movie with me. If you think you're helpless against alcohol, you're being sold a bill of goods. You have all the power within you. You just need to ask for help. All right? I'm going to take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. I have another addendum to what I just talked about with regard to alcohol. By the way, women closing the gap with men when it comes to both alcohol consumption and binge drinking. Ladies, if you're listening, this isn't about obviously guys. You know what's going on. Yeah. Real quick, my mother, before she passed away, one time got a call from someone she thought was my nephew, Matt. And Matt said, "I'm in real trouble, Grandma. You got to send me some money." Well, Mom hadn't talked to him in years. She was on the way to stroke a check, and we stopped her. There are a million ways that thieves can steal from you. They can use your forged signature. They can now use your voice or the voice of a loved one. They can forge deeds. They can transfer ownership of your home. All of these things. Well, what do you do to prevent that? Well, you find out if you have someone who's trying to steal your property by going to HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Carson. Get a free comprehensive scan of your home's title. And you get 30 days of legendary home title protection as well. All right? HomeTitleLock.com/promo code Carson, HomeTitleLock.com/promo code Carson. I want you to listen to the words of this. And this is interesting because it's falling on a Monday after Easter. This is a song that I would listen to. And I remember my producer, Ken, who is my sensei and helped me straighten my life around, because he had seen several of his friends in their 50s die of alcohol. And I was on the road to that. And this song by Dave Matthews, listen to the lyrics, because this helped me. It's called Bartender. Here we go.
If I go
before I'm old.
Before I'm old. Brother of mine, please don't forget me if I go.
Listen to this.
Bartender, please fill my glass for me with the wine you gave Jesus. Jesus that set him free after 3 days in the ground.
Bartender, please fill my glass for me with the wine they gave Jesus that set him free after 3 days in the ground. That song was written from a man who was troubled and sitting in front of a bartender and almost elevating that bartender to Messiah status, asking, please give me the same wine you gave Jesus that set him free. That song means more to me than you'll ever know. I think you understand. If you are suffering, you have a reason to live. You are not powerless. I promise you. I promise you that. You can do this. All right? You got this. Don't give up. I'm not kidding. Don't give up. All right? Cool. And if you want to hear this again, just listen to the podcast today. Maybe it'll help you out a little bit. All right? Bartender by Dave Matthews. If you're struggling, listen to that song. Listen to that song, okay? All right. On that note, we will come back and wrap up the show in just a second. This is The Rob Carson Show. All right, you guys, have a glorious day today. And be joyful. Be patriotic. We're going to win. Good's going to win. I can feel it. We got to fight, though. All right, God bless you. God bless America and Israel. Till tomorrow, which is Tuesday, do not catch the stupid. See you then.